That's what Paul did in Acts 22 to get everyone's attention. No, here's what I'm doing. I'm trying to save my voice, but now I'm using more to explain it.
Sorry, I can retract the question.
Acts 21:40. So when the Romans had given Paul permission, said he stood on the stairs and motioned with his hands to the people. And then he started speaking in Hebrew and they listened to what he had to say. Sorry, I don't know Hebrew, but...
I say I'm running close to the Hebrew.
Okay. Phil Friesen, would you mind leading us in a word of prayer, please?
Teach us the word and allow us to spread the word to others that we meet and bless the service. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Do you think that Noah's flood might have any effect on how we view the age of the earth?
I would say it probably gives false indicators of how we view the age of the earth.
You say it again? Okay.
As to the age of the earth.
Gene?
Isn't there a sediment layer that's laid down that is just about everywhere in the world? People?
Okay. All right. And what else? I mean, what? How are these viewed by the world?
Ages or eras?
Pardon?
Ages or eras?
Okay, so ages per layer. Is that what you said?
I said an era, whatever you want to call it. An age or an era.
Per layer?
Perfect.
Okay. But if this really happened, what's going to happen to this right here? It's going to change dramatically because it's going to say that most, if not all of these, were laid down at one time during one catastrophic event. In what ways did the flood affect the earth, the planet itself? I mean, you know it doesn't look the same now.
That
killed everything. Okay, so.
And the fountains of the eagle, and so there were crevices and openings and things that changed the layers of that way too, where caused either bigger holes or higher mountains or lower pits or whatever.
Okay. Now we got to think about how much must have happened here, because it rained for how long?
40 days and 40 nights.
So it was no break. It was probably like, well, I don't know how it was by your house today, but today here, the thunder was just right in this neighborhood. The lightning was. I mean, it was raining hard. But can you imagine if it was still doing that, and a week from now it's still doing that? And a month from now, it's still doing that. But that wasn't the only source. It was also the fountains of the deep were broken up. Now, what exactly does that mean? I mean, we're talking about flooding the whole earth. And I want us to look at that in a little bit here. Was it local or global? And if it was global, which I think the Bible points towards that end, we're not talking about springs of water like you and I see. I mean, we're talking about, yeah, I mean, just continents splitting up or whatever, and just how much water is underneath the earth, I have no idea. But that had to have changed the earth dramatically. We know the earth changed topographically. Whoops. Which means we're talking about, you know, the up and down. It's not the same as it was anymore. And geographically. So, if you had a world map then and a world map today, they wouldn't compare. They're totally different. We can just go on. Yes, Gene. Wasn't done what again? Right. Yeah, like the layers, you know, there's a lot of places, and you've probably seen them before driving down the road, where the layers will be like this. And then all of a sudden they'll go together. There's these big folds. And how is that going to happen when it's dry? This has to be wet for that to happen. Follow what I'm saying? Before it turns into rock.
Or back to find fossilized trees or things like that to go through many different layers.
Yes. That's all. Yes. That's also has happened. Well, they won't have the branches usually, but that'll give you the idea.
I said that it could be deceptive in what it's done. When you have a flood that way, everything is moving. You know, all the way around the world. If it's globally, everything is moving. And so what might have been as far as for aging before the flood, you've got everything that shifted around, moved around. So how would you be able to calculate what was
right
here and how you would have your formations? Because it would make everything totally out of whack.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I think this needs to be considered by geologists in particular. when they're talking about the age of the earth. This is not even a consideration. It's just not on their table of options. And yet, I think you'll see that it was where it was. So let's talk for a moment about, or did I finish? Oh, by the way, there's some places like in the Grand Canyon where you do get to a bottom layer where there's no more layers anymore. And so that's believed that that right there is the original creation level, you know, when God created the earth. And then, of course, we've got the flood and destroying the mountains and all those things, and that's what covered all that. But, so let's talk about whether it was local or global. How local is local? Okay. Okay, so what do we mean by local? I would say anything that's not global. Pardon? Okay, so in other words, if just Asia flooded and not Africa, he would say that's local. Okay, that's the way I would look at it. It's just, we're talking about local versus global. So if it didn't cover the whole earth and it leaves some of it exposed, it's not global. Maybe it's regional or whatever. So now we got to figure out, first of all, from the Bible, what was it? Let's go to Genesis. And I'm going to need some readers just like Sunday. Because I know I'm going to may not make it through the night.
How would you confine the water to just flood the continent, though? Because isn't it surrounded by... I mean, you'd have to have a big wall to hold it all
up. Okay, fill in the blank for me. What do we mean by level? Water seeks out its own level. Okay, so I can't just flood, cover this pew with water and the rest of them not be covered, right? If I put enough water here to cover this pew, the water wants to go everywhere, right? Until it fills up the room, and now it's going to start coming up and it'll cover this, but it's got all the rest of them covered. Why it works? Yes, okay. Steve Lloyd has told me that he has a perfectly balanced body because there's bubbles in the middle. And I kind of feel like the same way, you know. That's my best friend who said that. Okay, so I need someone to read Genesis 8, 9. Just raise your hand if you can so I can call on you. And Carl?
That's Genesis 8, 9.
Yes, please.
But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. She returned to the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself.
Okay, and then it continues that same thing. So at least as far as the dove was able to fly, and of course it's not flying globally, but at least as far as it's able to go, it's not finding what?
Its
any land. And what's the explanation for that?
It's all the Bible.
Phil?
Genesis chapter 7, verse 19.
And 20. No. Why don't you read 20 also? Just read verse 20 also.
I'm going to read 20 also. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. So the mountains had to be there before the flood. Some of them, at least.
There's some kind of mountain range, right?
They found fossils and things at the top of these mountains that are sea fossils, sea animals, things like that. So that's kind of an indication that there was a flood.
Yeah. Did you read 20 also?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Okay, so just reading these two passages alone, 8, 9, and what Phil read, I mean, you know, we haven't even gone very far into this, but what's the impression you're getting so far?
It was the whole earth.
Yeah, it seems like the whole earth is the way it's going, Carrie. Yeah, it's the same year it hit in Klamath Falls.
Well, that sounds like a doozy of a flood. But I'm guessing that doves and birds were able to fly to some place to land and to rest.
Okay.
I'm sure that flood spread out and affected a big area.
Okay, so here's a thing about if it was a global flood. Why not just move? Let's, for example, there's some geologists are trying to include Noah's flood. for whatever reason, they're not necessarily creationists, and they think they have found evidence of it in the Black Sea. They can tell we're under the water. There's huge landslides. Okay. You know, that's close to where the Ark ended up resting, Mount Ararat. So, you know, why not just move Noah and all the animals living in that area? Just take them on a little trek down to Africa or go further into Asia or up into Europe. Right? I mean, why build this massive ship and put all these animals in it with food to feed all of them, as well as the humans, for how many days? Does anyone know how long they were inside the ark?
40 days.
Way more than that.
360.
They were in that ark for 371 days. With all those animals. The first thing that always comes into my mind is, you know, I've worked at a dairy before. You know, you don't have to be very close to a dairy when you're driving by to know there's a dairy someplace. And I think there's ways that they could have handled the manure problem. That was a problem. They had to be able to deal with that. But anyways, imagine being cooped up for 371 days. They could have just traveled, like I say, to one of the other continents on land. Europe or Asia or Africa. There's no need to build this ship. Somebody started to raise their hand over here. And there's different ideas on how that window was formed or shaped and how big it was and that kind of stuff. Okay, now, what was the purpose of the flood?
Cleanse the earth.
And
destroy the people that were
vile. That's right, to destroy all flesh, including animal flesh. Okay, so now look at 6:12. These are all Genesis. So I need a reader. Carrie?
Their way on the earth. 17.
Reader. Karen.
And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is
And that was 6:17? Okay, 19.
Was that 17?
What was it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, 17. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die.
Excuse me. And the next, 19? Okay, and Toby, 7:15.
And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life.
Okay, and Phil, you read 19 and 20 before. Could you read them again and now verse 21 as well?
And the waters, verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creepy thing that creeps on the earth, and every man.
Okay, by the way, whatever the highest mountain was, how high did it go above it?
15 cubits.
What was that again?
15 cubits.
Now, I don't know anything about ships and boats and stuff like that, but what I have read, if you remember right, the dimensions of the ark, does anyone remember what they were? Okay, so do you remember the cubit measurements? See, it was 300 cubits long, right? So we figure if it was a foot and a half, then it's 450 feet, is that what you said, Tim? And then what was your 75 figure? The width, okay. So that would be... what was that? 60? 50. So 50 wide. And how many high?
30.
Now, they've estimated that when this thing's built and you figure out how you have to make a structure for something to be seaworthy and not in calm seas, but in violent seas, made out of wood, with all the animals, all the food in there, I think the word is draft. They figure that the draft, does anyone know what that means?
Yeah.
Can you explain, Terry?
That's the depth from the water level to the bottom of the ship.
Okay, so in other words, the water is not right here. It sinks down. You know, so that when you're down here, you're underwater, right? So the water level they have figured for this ship was 15 cubits. And I thought that was interesting when I read that, because God wanted to make sure that if this ark went over, you know, some dangerous ground, it's not going to touch it. Truly amazing. What was that? Yeah, imagine that. What a coincidence. Okay, 8:17. Someone over here. Tim.
Bring out every kind of living creature, birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it.
All right. 9:11. Back over here. Toby.
Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth.
Excuse me. And over here, somebody 9:15 through 17.
I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood, destroy all life. First, did you say?
Through 17.
Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between you, between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth.
Okay. What is your general impression after... Oh, sorry, Joe.
Basically, what that tells me, and I was kind of looking some things up on the internet here too, and it kind of follows along with my thought, is that if this was a local flood, then basically God lied to us. Because
why would you say that?
We just read that he promised us, he gave us the rainbow, promising us that he would never create a flood like that again.
Right.
We do have local flooding.
Exactly.
So in that regard, then we would have to say that it had to be the entire world or the entire earth. Otherwise, we would not have local floods. Or he lied to us and we know.
No. Right. It's impossible for him to lie. That's right. So, yeah, you're right. If according to the last two passages that were read, if he's only talking about not doing a local, even a large local flood... He's not kept his word.
Right.
Right here in America, we've had, you know, massive flooding along the Mississippi. How many times does it flood along the Mississippi? And
you couldn't just have a local flood and destroy every living creature on the earth in a local flood.
Yeah, and again, why would Noah or God have Noah build this ark when... And earlier I was indicating, okay, take the animals with you and move to a different location, but there's going to be animals there. So why would, they wouldn't even have, just the eight of them just got to move out of the area, that's it. And they could do that relatively fast. Not like we could today, but, you know, Gene?
Well, if that had been the case, there would have probably been others going with
them. Right. Yeah. Okay, so now, 2 Peter 3. Somebody over here, if you could read 2, raise your hand, 2 Peter 3, 4 through 7. Diane?
And saying there is a promise of heaven, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for the fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
Thank you, Diane. Okay. The global flood serves as the foundation for something else, according to this passage. So something else is going to happen that's going to be like it. All right. So global fire. The final judgment. Now, in the passages that we read from Genesis, God was careful to say, I will never destroy the earth like this again. That's my wording. But he, did you notice that? Go back to that just for a moment again. Let me tell you which ones that was. It should be chapter 9. Yeah. Okay, no, 8:21 is the first one. So can somebody over here on my left read 8:21? Toby?
Genesis 9:21.
8:21.
And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And the Lord said, he said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Again, destroy every living thing as I have done.
Those last four words. If those last four words had not been there, I would say he's never going to destroy the earth again, period. But he put in that last part that to kind of, it's, Noah wouldn't have realized it, but God was leaving the door open. I'm going to do it again, I just won't do it by water. Right? Do you see that? Or am I reading too much into the text? Okay, 9:11. Have we got somebody back over here?
I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth.
See again how he was careful to add, by the waters of flood, never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. If he hadn't said all that, again we would say, okay, the earth's going to be here forever. It's never going to be destroyed. So obviously he opened the door even back then. Now back in 2 Peter, notice what Peter is doing. I think I had the reader begin at verse 4, but... No, okay, that was correct, yeah. Verse 4, that these scoffers, people who are mocking the idea of a second coming and of global disaster again, they're arguing everything has continued the same since the beginning. Do you see that in verse 4? Nothing on a global scale has ever happened before. Right there, they're showing they haven't read their Old Testaments. Because, I mean, almost the opening chapters of Genesis show kaboom. There was this massive amount of water on the earth that, well, some people believe that all the earthquakes, volcanoes and other serious signs that we see on the earth happened during that time. As you can imagine, the great fountains of the deep just opening up and then as the waters are receding, it almost seems like sometimes more damage is done by the water receding, as it's rushing down out of the hills and everything. Well, I mean, what kind of damage are we talking about? So again, it's a global thing. But with fire, this time, how far is he going to go with the destruction? Yeah, I mean, it's just the plan. If we had kept on reading, like verse 10, can somebody over here read verse 10? Okay, Joe.
And the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Okay. So, this, this is not just like going to cleanse the surface of the earth. The idea that I get from that is just, it's obliteration. Is that what you said?
Well, destroy.
Yeah, it's going to wipe it out, and he'll be able to create a new heavens and a new earth. Okay.
It goes on in 11, it says, seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved. I mean, all.
Dissolved, right.
What manner of person ought you to be in all holy living in God? You know, so he says right there, all to be dissolved.
That's right. So it's even more extensive than this one, as bad as that was. Okay, now here's the thing. Why is all this important? Well, let's go back to the sedimentary layers that we see. What do we find in these layers that people from it have gotten the whole idea of evolution, macro evolution? Okay, fossils. Some old guys buried in the dirt.
Wait.
I'm not going to say how old yet. Okay, so you find certain animals, you know, at different, you know, levels. And since they're normally not all together, then they say, see, here it is, the geologic column. Since this layer on down is 65 million years old, and this layer here is only, you know, 2 to 4 million years old, and we don't see any of these up in here, therefore, that's where we get our big time span. Okay, Wayne?
All the fossils that they find in those layers are fully formed and functional. There's no intermediate.
That's right. And there's a lot of things about the geologic column that I've learned that I find fascinating. For example, if you look in a book or a picture, they'll give you they'll give you an illustration of the whole geologic column. And they have names for them, Jurassic and so on. And they'll tell you what lived in the different layers. But did you know that not anywhere in the world does the whole geologic column appear? But they've taken this part and this part from different places and put them together. Kind of like how they did with what used to be called the brontosaurus. Some of the stuff that goes on that's put forth as science, it's amazing. I hope I can make it for 5 minutes. So try and listen really good. I'm not trying to talk a little bit quieter, but the brontosaurus, they dug up the skeleton, the whole skeleton, except for this part, the skull. Several miles downriver, they found a skull, but no body. Therefore, that must go on this one. So they put it there. And that for decades, we said, that's the brontosaurus. And then you know what happened? They found another fossil. And this time it had the head. And it wasn't the head that they put on there. And they had to tell the world, actually what we did back then is we put together a couple fossils but didn't tell you what we were doing. Anyways, stuff like that is just amazing to me. So now it's called the apatosaurus. Okay, so this is really the biggest tool that's used by evolutionists to say that man is a latecomer and not a newcomer, as the Bible says, and that man is separated from various animals by millions of years. And in some places, now get this, the geologic column is flipped over. And part of that's because of the violence of the flood. You know, it caused all kinds of upheavals. I think I need to stop talking. We still have a few minutes left. If you have any comments don't ask any questions. Just give me some comments. I got to quit talking.
This is not necessarily related to the flood, but I took home some of these DVDs that you have here. And one of those extreme leaders are going back to the age of the earth thing. That somewhere in southern Utah, I can't remember, natural springs, if they're not natural springs, natural arches or something. National park. It's some kind of a national deal. There is an arch that has pictographs on it, including pictures of human form and other animals, and they found one image of what looks like a dinosaur.
Right, yeah.
And they have talked about it in some circumstances, always said that no man has ever seen a dinosaur. That all of their images of dinosaurs and everything else are pure speculation.
Mm-hmm.
But there in Utah and at a temple in, I want to say Thailand, but it might be, I think it's Thailand.
Yes.
There are these images.
Angkor Wat, I think it is.
Right. And there are, well, this is a different one. Than
Angkor. Oh, okay.
It's different. But that other one has a stegosaur, and it's clearly defined.
Right.
Carved into the rock. And if man had never seen these, how could they have put all of that together in, say, like 1300 as opposed to 1840? Because supposedly, according to them, scientists, we haven't known about the dinosaurs except for about the last 150 years or so.
Yeah. We helped to support financially the man who made that discovery, Don Patton. Anything else?